Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's some interesting news. Apparently, we're on in Richmond. Shout out to anybody in Richmond listening to us.
What up?
Love the RVA. Go get a BLT from Joe's Inn.
Yeah.
That's my advice. I miss going to Richmond for training camp, B. You miss it?
It's fine.
I think the ideal time for away training camp is like the first 2 weeks, whatever that ends up being. Maybe it's 2.5 weeks until the first preseason game.
That's basically about how long training camp is these days.
The problem with Richmond was they'd play the first preseason game and then go back down there and then have to come back for another preseason game. They should just cut it then and then be back at the facility once you're kind of in the game flow. I'd love to go back to Richmond or wherever they might go. So if
training camp ain't supposed to be comfortable, JP.
Yeah, I'm just talking about what I want, Brian.
But that's the thing about it. It's not about you. Trying to get a team ready to play ball. You worry about you.
Yeah, I'm aware of what they're trying to do.
So how about when they...
You want them to go away, don't you?
How about you just don't go back when they go back?
Maybe. right now, we're not going anywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
I think this year you might.
We'll see. I thought that last year, but maybe this year because they'll have the stadium deal all locked up. Regardless, we're on in Richmond. Shout out to Richmond. Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt spoke to the media earlier. Joe Witt's under a bunch of fire. A lot of fans are mad at him. Let me be clear, though. Joe Witt didn't miss a single tackle against the Falcons. Here is Commanders D coordinator Joe Witt.
As normal, I'll talk a little bit about the last game, a little bit about the first quarter of the season, and then get into the next game and then answer any questions that you have. You know, the first quarter, it hasn't been consistent. You know, we go out and play well against the Giants, then we don't play well against the Packers. I'm talking about defensively. Come out and run and hit and do what we need to do against the Raiders. And then we go down to Atlanta. And once again, so we can't have this ebbs and flow. We have to get into a rhythm of playing as one. And that's what I told the team, okay? And when I say playing as one, what do I mean by that? It's three different things, especially coming from the Atlanta game. The number one thing is the communication, okay, pre and post snap. We don't need anybody to put capes on. That's what happened a little bit in the Atlanta game, and I will explain that. And then the gang tackling as a unit, the turnbacks that we talked about that we had a number of them against the Raiders. We didn't have them in this game, and we missed tackles. And so when I talk about the communication and playing as one and no capes, let's talk about like the first third down of the game. You know, it's a look that we knew that was coming. It's actually the play that we worked. They ran the play that we worked. We call them looks to own. And so they ran the fast motion over, option away from three with a seven. And we had one guy that got a little greedy, and but it wasn't his play to make. He should have been on the vertical, and the vertical was open. And so we don't need anybody to put capes on, all right? That play was for Oost to make, and Oost was working to it, but it was wide open. So, you know, the communication and understanding, we don't have to put a cape on that. You just do your job. The gang tackling, all right? The one of the touchdowns by Bijan, okay? If you look at that play right there, we had one guy come in and he shot at the ball, trying to knock the ball out. But our rule is you shoot at the ball when it's in the leverage arm that you're at, okay? And so then the second guy came in and he shot at the ball. If you're the second guy in, you shoot at the ball when the tackle is secure. So the technique of both of those weren't there, and so it allowed Bijan to keep running. It caused two missed tackles and a third while as he went into the end zone. And so communication pre and post snap, and then, you know, we don't have to put capes on, just do our job. And so the negative plays and the open plays are putting a stain on the positive things that we have done on defense. But the main thing is to win, and we're not winning, and we're not we didn't win the last game, and we're not playing the brand of football that we want to play defensively. And so we have to get that taken care of, and we will. All right, go ahead.
Was that one play, the one to Drake London? I'm sorry, to Pitts for the 26 yards? Is that one you're talking about? Because it looked like two guys go to
London.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were both trying to get where the ball was supposed to go, and he just looked up and saw the guy running open and hitting him. So
then as you talk about like some of the mistakes as a coach, what do you do? Like, and why is that message maybe sometimes not getting through consistently to them?
Well, you know, the no capes is, you know, everybody's talking about turnovers, you know, trying to force it. So even though Marshawn's with the double move, all right, just leverage and don't get your eyes back to the quarterback. Leverage the route, all right, and play it through, all right. Turnovers, you know, I've had a history of getting a bunch of them in my past, and they don't come on good thrown balls. They come on poorly thrown balls. They come on running tips and overthrows and things such as that. You can't go out there and just necessarily force them to happen. You don't have to put a cape on, you know, but when you do have the opportunity, you know, we had one taken away from a penalty in the first game when Quan got one and got hit, then we dropped one in the Raiders game with 2-3. So they're going to come, but if we try to force them and we try to go get them when we're not doing it the right way, we're going to give up explosives, and we can't do it that way.
With Frankie, he looked pretty impactful in the run game. So
Frankie played really well. He's the one guy that played well in this game.
Right. As a pass rusher, is there more you can do? Because the rush has not been as many. If so, why? And what can you do more?
His rush has not been as many?
The numbers, according to the numbers, I don't know. You would know better.
Yeah, the numbers are there. He's rushed more than any off-the-ball linebacker in the league. So,
is there anything you can do? What more can you do to maybe help in that area? Or are they doing different things against him in that area?
They're doing different things against him, and that's why, you know, Bobby's getting the success that he's getting, and DA's getting some, you know. So, they're focusing more on him, and that's good. You know what I'm saying? His time's going to come. His sacks are going to come when they start putting attention on other players. So, but he was the one guy in that game that ran and hit and played the way that all 11 should have played.
Through 4 weeks, it seems like the D-line's done a pretty good job of pressuring the quarterback, but not necessarily getting there every time. Is there any concern for you about, or is there a need to get more big plays and sacks in the passing game?
But we always want sacks. I think we have 10 right now. I don't know where that puts us, you know. And so, but we are pressuring them, and we're putting a wave. You know, I thought not necessarily this game, but the game before, we had opportunities where we had a hand on the quarterback three different times, and he got away. I think we'll have to just finish those type plays. But to answer your question, I mean, it's just. We have the guys to do it. We just have to complete the play and make sure that it's rushing coverage, that the back end is covering so those guys can get to their second rush. Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Hey,
Coach Quinn talked about fast starts, you know, on the road and everything. Just talking about defense, what are some key things that you can emphasize in getting off to a faster start?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On defense.
Oh yeah, you know, getting off on third down. You know, that first third down would have been a huge play for us because you know we got them to the situation. We got them to the, you know, that third and five. We talked about that's the play we talked about that we were going to get. And so now when you make that play and you get off the field and you get the ball to the offense and the first plays are three and out, that's the energy that that creates throughout the stadium. But when you give up an explosive, now you're giving them energy to go. And so we can't allow them. We can't be good on first down, second down, and get the third down in that situation and know what's coming and allow explosive. And that's where we drain ourselves and give the other team energy.
And talking to some of the players, they said that they have to stay on their keys. What are some of the little things that are so important in moving this defense forward?
Well, and that goes back to, like I said, the pre and post snap communication and the no capes, okay? So I went back and I showed them the first four plays of the Giants game, okay? And, you know, you had Kinlaw's tackle, you had Payne coming out on the screen. Then the fourth play was they ran fast motion, and you saw Mikey communicating before the snap. You saw Will on the backside communicating and coming out. So pre-snap communication provides great post-snap play. And we didn't have enough of that here. It seemed like we were playing more as individuals than as a collective unit in the last game. And so we got to get back to playing like we did, communicating like we did. And when we do that, it provides better play for the whole defense.
Over here. Yes. I wanted to ask about the play where Bobby was, you know, trailing in coverage on Bijan, mm-hmm. kind of got caught up in a bunch or whatever, yeah. pick, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. What happened? What did you see on that play, and what do you wish would have gone differently?
Yeah, you know, as much as possible, you know, we try to keep our backers off of speed as much, and Bijan is considered speed on that right there, and so that's why we blitz them and we do the things that we do on that play. You know, it was a mesh concept, and we were trying to take the air out of it, and he got hung up on the two receivers that came inside, which created space and air. And once Bijan got it, he got it with enough speed to the sideline that we couldn't run it down. So, but you know, with him, we were trying to take air out of the coverage as much as possible, get to his body, so you don't have that much space that you have to get away from. But the two routes that got inside, picked them from that standpoint. Yeah.
As a coordinator, when you pick up on something that you see that you don't like, whether it's a communication issue or you see guys trying to put capes on, like you said, what goes into trying to make that adjustment within the game and not have it be something that you have to wait until maybe the film day the next day?
Well, you know, within the game, we talk about it because first at halftime, you know, it was addressed at halftime of, you know, we just need to make sure that we're getting the looks that we want, but don't overtry. You know, play hard, but don't overtry. Don't do anything outside of your assignment from that standpoint there. And then, you know, when we get into the meeting room, when we talk about it, we have what we call Tell the Truth Monday. And so it works on a different level. So I'll talk about some of the calls and why I called them in certain areas, and then why did we make the mistakes. And I'll allow them to communicate to me, and I'll allow them to hear, you know, as coaches, all right, what we were exactly expecting and what we're exactly expecting moving forward. And so that's how we, you know, we'll rectify some of those issues.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah. You talked before about like just in the life of football, some people when things aren't going well can tend to kind of start to overwork and maybe put too much focus into trying to sort this and that out and make it almost too complicated. How do you make sure that you and your staff aren't doing that? And then also, how do you communicate to the players the need to not do that as well?
Yeah, you know, first thing, this is it's a fun game because it's hard. You know what I'm saying? And so, and we're in it because we like the challenge. And so that's the one thing that we really talk. You don't have to overtry. You don't necessarily panic in any situation when you get in situations, then when you're not playing it exactly like you want to play it. Now, what do? You go and you look at it. Has the approach been the right approach? What can you do differently? How can you change the learning? When you're not getting the results that you want, we're not going to just necessarily keep on doing the same thing. But we're going to look at every possible way of teaching the men, training the men, and then getting on the field and getting it done from that standpoint. But in this society and how things are now, and the guys, especially these guys that grew up in different than when we grew up, where they're in the social media and they read everything that everybody writes, it weighs on them. You know, when you're, you know, my age, 47, or when you didn't grow up in that environment, I don't look. So whatever people are saying about me, that's cool. I don't care because I don't see it, you know. But they really look at it and it weighs on them. And so then they start to try to overtry. So that's one thing Q and I have talked about. How do we not just the defense, but these young men in general, how do you keep them, you know, grounded from the standpoint of blocking out the noise, because good or bad is not real, you know? And so, and it's people that, that don't know the individuals or what's going on in some sport, in spots. And so that's what we got to do, is block out the noise and go play well. I've told players before, if you want people to say positive things, play positive. If I want to have people say positive things about me, I need to put a positive product out on the field. So hopefully that answers your question from that standpoint.
My question is actually pretty similar. You talk about players being too aggressive or, I guess, pressing in certain situations. Did you have a sense of why that was? Was it because they were behind? Was it outside perception? Is it different circumstances?
I'm not going to speak for the players. I think guys want to make plays, you know, and guys are just trying to get the turnovers and trying to do this and that, where the turnovers are going to come, okay? The way that we've played the run, because we played it as a unit, I'm happy with that, okay? What I'm not happy with are the explosive passes, right? If we can clean up those explosive passes without getting turnovers, we clean up the explosive passes, we're playing a solid brand of football, okay? Now, if we clean up the explosive passes and get the turnovers, now we're playing a dominant style. But right now we're playing a sloppy style, because it's, you know, stop it on first down, stop it, and here goes an explosive, right? Which just is not good, and we have to clean it up, and we will clean it up. I have full confidence in the staff and the players that it will get handled, and it'll get started this week.
Cool. Appreciate you coming.
All right, guys, y'all have a great one.
Joe Witt, not happy. Listen, I feel kind of good about myself, B. If I knew to dig up the explosive numbers, and then Joe Witt says the explosives are what killing us,
mm-hmm.
I think I was onto something.
Well, I mean, if you watch the game, you know the explosives are killing them.
Yeah, man.
But I like Joe's approach.
I love his straightforward, just the candor.
And the thing of it is, if these guys are, if they want to get better, they want to listen, they could turn this thing around rather quickly.
Agreed. Turnovers can be fluky. There's a lot of variance in generating turnovers, but stopping the explosives, they've been good against the run. Defensively against the run, they rank, I got it right here, they're 14th in the NFL in rush yards allowed. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.